Hi, Eric. How are you?
How are you, Mr. Russ?
Have you been here all this time? Have you had a call, Eric?
No, sir. Just sir.
Oh, I see. See, let me get something else off. Well, what do you do?
Thanks, Lee. I want to see you for some time. Things haven't been going quite so well. Miss you. Some numbers.
Three.
Personally. I don't want to talk this out.
Correct.
You would be precious. There are three that have been waiting. That was my old teacher, Wesley Clare Mitchell. He was the outstanding economist in this country. He and I became collaborators. We wrote several books together. I was his biographer. His memory's very dear to me. A second was my friendship with Eisenhower, which became very deep, very personal. Third, my friendship with you, which has lasted many years. As your friend, when you were vice president, and I was your friend, the
and write columns on that stuff.
Although much of it has been inspired by well-meaning people, but it's so wrong. You know, well-meaning people right here in the White House, what good does it do to carry on a fight with the Fed? What good does it do? Mr. President, there's only one thing that can change my actions with the Fed. New evidence. I work at it, work at it hard. I prepared myself over a lifetime for this position, that's paying you it, and that's why you pointed me to it. Going to the press, you know, what good does it do? I'll do what I think is right. And I'll do what I am, as I said to you, if and when I ever see a conflict between what I think is right. Political fortune, your personal fortunes. By Jove, if there was the slightest conflict, I'm going to be waiting to tell you about it. That hasn't occurred. Now, what is the difference between us? The rate of interest down, Treasury bills as a measure, from 8.1% period of 1 year. I could drive it down fast in this place. I could. No, I'm not doing it, you see. I'm not doing it first. I have talked to you about this, the possibility of an international monetary crisis. That's closer now than it was. I have reached the conclusion that an international monetary crisis will cause financial and economic havoc at home, quite apart from what it does to our political prestige. It's wrong. That is a terribly considered judgment. And I'll lay out the facts for you in due course. I've got a memorandum underway too. I've got the Treasury working on this problem because I want to try to prevent it. You may succeed or not. I believe contingency plans in the event that we can prevent it are to minimize the shock to our domestic economy and to our foreign relations. I'm going to advise you to the best of my ability on that. I'm working with the Treasury. To drive interest rates lower, I think we run the risk of accelerating an international monetary crisis which will do us no good at home domestically. Second, put the international factors on one side. They have already fallen so low on the short-term market, which is the only market that I can really influence. They've fallen so low that there is a great danger. When you're near the floor, you can only go in one direction. Now, it's my duty. As an economist, I've always looked more than a month ahead or 2 months ahead. And I've got my target, you see, for the next 2 years, 1972. If interest rates go down further through my actions, they may go down because of forces I can't control, not something else. If they go down further through my actions, the probability as I see it is they go up later on in the year, in 1972, housing, which is recovering very nicely, and go into a test in 1972. Where will we be as a country and as a party and you personally? I think it's wrong and stupid. I have been for some time, and it took some doing, my complicated system. I'm not the Secretary of the Treasury who's boss, but I've achieved, you see, a certain rule and authority over my shop, and if there's any blame, place it on me. I can't place it on others because I pulled them along, and they acted in accordance with my views. Now, take history as a rough guide. We were on a 6% track with a narrowly defined money supply, currency in circulation, plus the bank deposits, that's checking accounts, 6% rate of growth. That rate of growth has been exceeded in the post-war period in only 3 years, 1946, an extreme year of inflation, 1966. Money's taking chances, but I thought it was right to take some chances. You can't get anywhere in life by playing it safe. To go further, Mr. President, I think runs the risk of meeting the risk in the economy. I may be wrong, but I'm acting out of a conviction and out of deep and prolonged and continuous study, and I don't have a rigid mind on that or anything else. I train myself as a scientist, and I look at evidence. Now, I thought I'd go have this heart-to-heart talk with you, because I know you, I have felt recent conversation you had sometimes. It's natural. You should. You don't see me often, but I have misled you many times in the past about the economy. I'm meeting with Steve now. I don't think so. And look, I'm on in years. I have some purposes in life. Maybe I don't. I came here as an immigrant boy. I've done well. In profession, in my profession, I rose to the top. In the business world, I could command a higher fees than any economist. Why did I come here? I came for two reasons. First, I owe debts to America. My patriotism is fierce. The debt is large. Thought I could repay it. Maybe give you the opportunity. The second thing I wanted to work with you and to help you is I thought I could help you. That's why something wasn't true.
Well, where I could have just come to talk with Mark and I came with you. You and I have the same philosophy. We want this, this is the last chance, really, let's face it. This is the last chance that anywhere near like a conservative administration can survive. Let's face it, the alternative to this is going to be, it is going to be Sue Jackson. It'll be, Hubert Humphrey, Muskie, J.D. Kennedy, you name it. But it'll all go hog wild. There's no question about where they're going to go. They can't go in any other direction. So under these circumstances, we have to do our very best to be responsible, do our very best to make it go, and do our very best, particularly, to make it look good next year. Now, we were hoping, of course, that it would look reasonably good this last year, but it didn't work out. And it's just, and in a sense, you know, our mutual friend Milton Friedman thinks it's a good thing. And he says, he wrote me, I remember, a long letter. You may have seen it. I may have sent it around to you. Well, he wrote me a long letter. He said, don't do too much now. And when it sees the 70 of the risk of having the economy low at 72, whatever he said, that's water for the bridge. The point is that we have the same goals. We want the same general principles, sure, family assistance. We can have disagreement about that, but that's over and done with. The point that we've now come to is that we've got to do the best that we can and get the very best judgment we can to see that this economy moves up. Now, to be very frank with you on that point, I'm not as concerned as some about it's not moving so fast right now. Everybody talking about 1065 and all that sort of thing. Here's my view, and I'm going to speak on this group. My view is that I would rather have it move a little bit slower now so that it can go up and get a real big burp later. I think, for example, we ought to take a look around, when we get the April figures in. Let's look at March and April. Then in March and April, we find then that things are not moving as it should. Then, it seems to me, we'll have to reconsider our aid plan. This is whether or not the investment tax credit or the other, the acceleration of that should go. I think between now and then, however, it would be well not to take that position for fear that it will indicate a lack of confidence that we know what the hell we're doing.
And we're early to change.
Well, and you don't change 6 weeks after you went into the game.
You don't change.
And I saw it. I think that when they give their testimony down there, and I talked to Connie about this because he raised the same point. He told me he talked to you this time. And he said he agrees that we do testify on this investment tax credit and the matter of the Social Security, the other tax matters and so forth, that actually that the press really made something out of it that you haven't really said. This was an answer to your question. The thing that I'm concerned about.
So,
consequently, you say in this deal, and that's why I think this kind of understanding is so important, is anything you say is bound to be seized upon by the press to try to make it appear that you are differing with me. And we got to avoid that. You must not have, understand, that has nothing to do with the independence of the baboons, but I think we've got to bend over backwards to be sure that we don't give any ammunition to our quote friend, quote the press. So they can say, well, Burns is fighting with the president or the president's staff, et cetera, et cetera. Now that's two-way thinking, too. It has to be both ways. Connie understand this. I know you're concerned about Schultz and so forth. We all understand. But I think that your position, as you can all see, is so very different because of the personal relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that you should go out and simply be a presidential puppet. I'm not suggesting that at all. I don't know anything about it. I want your, of course, your best advice whenever you can get it. I do think, however, that we've got to be extremely careful that we not allow them to say, well, our critics and others who want us to fail, well, the plan must, the administration must be bad because Arthur Burns, the president's counselor, is disaffected, former counselor. You see, that's what they're going to write. In fact, that's some of the stuff that crops up. And that's why I'm being very sensitive that you knowing politics, if we could just watch that situation. And I think that whenever you see something like that, you let me know and I'll let you know through Connolly or something. He'll see it purely politically. That's the main thing. You see, to me, Arthur is more a political than an economic problem. Look, who the hell knows how what's going to happen to the economy? Nobody can be sure. Some can be more sure than others. The only thing I do know is that from the political standpoint and also from the confidence factor, it's extremely important for there not at least appear to be in the public mind, a great cleavage between the president and the secretary of the Federal Reserve, who not only is the chairman, who is his friend. And see what I mean? Because you see, we both have a lot of the same friends. As the one chief of the policies, you know that there must be some wrong with them. Now, I know that there are things we ought to consider, and we'll consider them. I must say, if you think, well, I've been around, I'd say when we got the figures around the 10th of May, between the 1st and 5th, after the 1st of May, well, basically, you get figures, they're probably wrong figures, but you get the figures for the month of April, then I think we ought to examine the first 4 months. That's basically a third of the year. And then we've got to decide whether we go on another tax kick, or what else do we do? How does that sound to you? Now, the way we ought to do it in the meantime is to present a I think on the money thing, I read your paper, I don't still understand it, but I understand more of it now. And on the money thing, all that I can say is this, you know, when I saw Connolly and I talked to him, I said, all that I know is that you had told me that you were going to see to it that we could have a 5%. 5% was your goal, and that was something you could achieve. Because I said they depended upon you to do it, and that's what I do, as a matter of fact. That's what we understood. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to watch the figures every month. No. I don't know enough about it. But I do know that you've got to watch them every month because we sort of basing things on that 5% matter.
It's 6%.
Well, I think that's fair. I understand. I don't know whether it should be, you could tell me 15 or 3, I don't know the difference. But be that as it may, we've got to count on you, and that's why to have that money supply thing at a good, strong rate, which is 5% or 6% or whatever it is. And in the meantime, on the other policy, when we get into our fiscal policy, to wit our tax policy and our budget policies, I would suggest that we could have a moratorium on any public statements about, well, now, what should we do now? Right now, let's say, well, things, for example, somebody said that the month of February was disappointing. Well, it was. Well, let's look at March. I mean, I have much more balance in this than most have, because I've been, you know, you've been up and down a bit, you get a little more balance. And I've seen too many people panic on the basis of 2 months' figures. See? So now you don't panic, that's it. You have a sense of perspective, and that's what I want you for. So what I'd like to do is have a relationship where you and I can talk like this anytime, and you can be sure as far as I'm concerned, it's forgotten, let's say. You give your best advice. And then publicly, however, I think both of us, I'll handle my people. And actually, as you know, I've got to defend my people. That's I've got to defend the White House staff. But I'll see my people, and that includes Trump. I see that we play the game. That'll be your responsibility. I would like to ask you to do one thing that I think would be very important. I would like for you, on your initiative, because he's a kind of a man who will not bother you, so I'd like for you to develop a very close relationship with Trump. Well, I mean, see very often.
Yeah.
And talk about this for example, because he's going to, you see, he's going to get into this. Interest rates and all this other
thing.
And he learns fast. And I think the thing that would be would need to talk personally. And then, on occasion, you see, here's the other thing. Let's look at why. My evaluation. Basically, Schultz is an extremely able fellow. McCracken is extremely able, both good economic men. However, neither of them knows anything about politics. You, Conley, and I know something about politics. I therefore, and I would like to, sometime, maybe just the three of us, maybe the way we'll do this, I may put Conley on the phone so that it doesn't appear to, that's right. But the three of us, perhaps, on occasion, just ought to sit down and talk with me. See my point? Not in terms of going around the clock ahead, but just simply in terms of the political effect of all this stuff. Because you know, you understand politics, aren't you? You know the effect that one of the others. And Connelly's a genius as a man. He really is probably as good as Johnson.
I tell you,
well, he's a strong man. He's learning fast. He knows a lot more about it than I realize. But I think the key to this is first, you and I staying close together, which we will do. Second, on the property ad, let's be sure that they we're very frank. We'll try to keep everybody in line. So, and knock down ideas of discord between the president and the rest. I knock it down there. They ask me.
Oh, you're perfect.
And, but I know that they're. I understand. I knew the problem. We don't need to stop it. But I read enough of the stories. And we've got to. Let me take a look. My feeling is this: that if we pull it off, it'll be the economic miracle of the century. Just like having this war, which I think we're going to do, and save Vietnam at the same time, will be the diplomatic miracle of the century. I think this, if we pull this economic thing off, and I don't mean by that that you've got to get down to 3% unemployment, that wouldn't be good.
The direction has to be
correct. And in the direction both ways, if we can pull it off, Arthur, it'll be an enormous accomplishment. Whether it can be or not, I was just reading this morning. Great concern, terrible problems poor he is having. You know, the labor people are giving him hell. The polls now show that a majority of the British people oppose entry to the market, and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, he's in for 5 years, so he can take his lumps now. But the running of an economy in a modern state, particularly a great one like this, where you've got $1,000 billion. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? How intricate it is, how difficult it is, and button, that button, and say, well, now, we're going to estimate how much we're going to have, and so is it going to be 1065 or 1050? I just hope that it's up.
Sure.
It's up.
And you have to put a bond.
Just a little bit. That shouldn't come too fast, so. My feeling on the unemployment, see what you think is harder, main things next year. Not an unemployment, it's got to, let's don't let it go any higher, but I hope we can.
That is what I have my eye on.
But I think we've really got to think of goosing it. Shall we say, late summer, fall this year, and in fact next year. Because you know there's a hell of a lag. Because you remember in 1960, you and Jim Mitchell came in to see me down there, down in my little office in the Capitol, and said, my God, we've got to do something about this, remember about the economy. We did it.
I wanted to refresh your memory. I placed a call to you late February 68. Late February 1960. Rosemary Woods told me that you were a filibuster who would retire.
Remember the salts and crack, they also have there is actually, our center probably asked me something about the country, but I'm going to say, this is my opinion, I said, we're moving, the main thing is moving up, and we believe our plan is right, you know, I'm not going to make any predictions, but...
You just say it's substantial increase in being reinsured for the first quarter.
That's true. How do you get that out?
Well, it's preliminary estimate now, is it?
When do you go to Europe again? You ought to call down those bankers.
What else are there?
I
don't think you're up to work. I'm glad I have to go.
Oh, yeah, you got to follow these ass.
Super good. No, you got to go to law. Let's go out, strangers. You can crush.
Yeah. See how they do.
So, I'll stop all smarties. I'll stop all the crowds.
Good.
Paris is nothing against me. I went to the front or to London. I could start English.
Well, how to do is you see the increase in the business. You can serve more of them. He's never any good on it, but it's got terrible needs. But it's
just to do something.
All right, this will all be.
Okay.